This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Monday, everybody. It's an absolutely beautiful day out. Yes, we'll get some snow here at some point, but enjoy this 65 to 70 degree weather until that happens. Don't forget about our great event we have coming up this Wednesday. So this coming Wednesday, December 1st, it will be at Artisan Pizza in Parker. And some of you might say, well, why did you guys choose that? Well, hindsight, I guess, is in fact 2020. We knew there would be a mask mandate for every other place in town. We figured that Douglas County would be the best place to go, so that's what we chose. No, just kidding, actually. It's a good friend of Andy's, and it's a great restaurant, great conservatives that own it. We want to support them. But yes, it does happen to be in Douglas County, where there is no mask mandate, so come out and enjoy us. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. Pizza's on us. And just come by and hang out. You can come by any time between 7 and 9. Richard Battle, I should say, will be with us. He's going to be with us in studio that day live. And then he'll be with us that evening signing some of his new books. And then he'll give you, he's actually got door prizes, where we have door prizes, I should say. His included, 30 minutes of free coaching. Zach from Novus Auto Glass is donating 5 vouchers for free rock chip repair. Paul Leuenberger's got a $150 Visa gift card he's throwing into the pot. Roof Max, Dave, is going to give away $400 off of a roof treatment. Barber's Foods will be there. Greg from Barber's Foods will be there. And we'll have some great deals on meats. And then he's going to have some giveaways as well. There's a lot of other books. In fact, a lot of times I will get duplicates, triplicates on certain books. We're going to bring a lot of extra books that we'll have there as well from a lot of the authors that we've had on air. So we'll bring those. And don't forget, of course, free pizza. Go to RushToReason.com. Look for the events page there. And you can find all the details. But stop by. It's going to be a great week as far as weather is concerned. It'll be a great evening. So come by, say hi, and we look forward to hanging out with you guys on this Wednesday evening. So the question of the day last Wednesday, yes, I know it was Wednesday because we were off Thursday and Friday. What's the average number of calories consumed per person on Thanksgiving? I think I talked about this the week prior in brief with Matt Peel, but it's around 4,500 calories per person per Thanksgiving holiday. By the way, that's about 2 times what you would normally need for most adults. So that's double what normally we would eat in a day's time. Today's a possible question. Answer this on the RushToReason.com website. Doing blank together has led 20% of couples to divorce. Doing blank together. That would be working from home, home improvement projects, making a big purchase, or deciding on where to live. Charlie, thoughts? Charlie says home improvement. You give your answer at RushToReason.com, and we'll give you the answer, of course, as always, tomorrow. Lots going on in the news, and anytime I'm away from the studio for a little bit, which I was last week and didn't go anywhere, frankly, just took a couple of days off. I appreciate Andy filling in for me as he does when I'm gone, and I appreciate that very much. Hopefully you guys all had a great time. He had some great co-hosts, by the way, that joined him as well, so thank you for all of those that joined in with him as well. But I didn't go anywhere, didn't really do anything, no vacation, nothing along those lines, just worked around the house, did some things that way, took a little road trip, and notice, though, the one thing that you can't miss, of course, is the new mandates that were passed out because of the quote-unquote rising levels of patients in hospitals, COVID patients in hospitals. I actually sent this to Andy the beginning of last week because, as you all know, I had a new grandbaby. Richard had a grandbaby. There's no secret there. We'll hear from him a little later today. And doing great, by the way. But I went up and you know, you can't go to the hospital because there's only a certain amount of people allowed in the actual hospital. But Richard and I had to switch some cars around, do some things. So I met him in the parking lot of the hospital that I won't give the name of, but a hospital up north. Let's just say it that way. And it's a well-known hospital in the Boulder Valley area where the baby was born. And I met Richard there, and it was Friday night, I don't know, Charlie, at about 8 o'clock roughly. And I thought, okay, 8 o'clock, Friday night. You know, typically a lot of emergencies and things like that, believe it or not, actually happen on Friday nights. As you head into the weekend, typically it's a busier time of the evening, if you would, going into the weekend when it comes to hospitals and things like that. Even people will schedule some surgeries. They'll do them on Friday so that they've got the weekend to recuperate, and they leave on, you know, Sunday or Monday. And you get where I'm going with that. That's just sort of the drill there. That's kind of the way things work around a hospital. So I was expecting to pull in with all of the news that I've been following for the past week or so and all of the hospitalizations involving COVID patients, I figured I'd pull in and the place would be jam-packed. And there would be cars upon cars upon cars. Normally, by the way, this is one of those hospitals where even when you pull in to go visit patient, baby, whatever the case may be, you're typically parking a good, I'm not exaggerating in this, by the way, folks, a good 50 to 60 yards plus away from the front door, at least. Because, and again, it's a fair-sized hospital in the Boulder Valley area. I get there, I roll in, and I'm like, where's all the cars? Where's everybody? I'm not exaggerating. I'm looking around like, where's the mass amount of people that are supposed to be in the hospital from COVID? And this place ought to be, you know, brimming with cars and people and so on. And I'm looking around like, this place is a morgue. It's a ghost town. So, you know, I text Richard, say, hey, come down. I brought them some dinner, actually, that night, and, you know, some goodies and so on. And as he came down, I'm like, so where's all the people? He's like, Dad, this place is a morgue. He's like, this place is empty. He said, there's nobody here. He said, even the people in the maternity ward are talking about how empty the whole place is. I'm like, well, where's all these COVID patients? I figured this place would be running over with people, and there's no place to put anybody. That's why we've got all these new mandates and things like that that are coming down the pike from, you know, all these different organizations, health organizations. And Richard's like, well, they're not here. So I'm thinking to myself, if that's one prominent hospital in the East Boulder Valley area, which, by the way, this hospital is well known for taking folks with no insurance. Let's just say it that way. It won't be derogatory or you know, throw anybody under the bus. But it's a well-known hospital for taking people with not any insurance, which would lead you to believe that if there was a plethora of people needing to be treated from COVID, this would be one of those places they would be, by the way. Not there, folks. Place was empty. So I know that's not every hospital along the Front Range or in Colorado, but my gut feeling is, knowing what I know about how the hospital systems work, all of these mandates that are now being shoved down our throat all over again are just that. They are mandates to be shoved down your throat. They're not based on data at all. They're not based on the science at all, because, by the way, we know masks don't keep people from going to the hospital in the first place. You can go to places like Ball Arena or any type of venue like that, and if you're vaccinated, you don't have to even show any proof that you don't have COVID, but if you're not vaccinated, you have to give them a negative COVID test, which I look at that and think, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You go to those places, and I went to an event here not too long ago at Ball Arena, went to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And to get in, yeah, people are masked up, but I'll be honest, once you get through, it's not a huge issue. There's nobody running around telling everybody to, you know, lift their mask up over their nose or anything along those lines. Once people were seated, it was about 50-50 on who kept a mask on and who didn't. So my point is this. If we really do have an overrun of hospitals, because Nine News, as of just the other day, said that the Denver added their indoor mask policy or mandate because the hospital system is on the brink of collapse. Headline, that's what it says. That's the headline. On the brink of collapse. Yet, I was at a hospital not more than, I'm not exaggerating, 15 minutes from downtown. That was empty on last, not this past Friday night, but a Friday night prior, which, again, all these mandates came in because of the daily numbers of the day I was at the hospital. Okay, I want to make sure I'm clear on that because there's always a lag time for when they make these decisions. So keep in mind, I was actually at the hospital physically for the data that they're basing these decisions on. No one there. It was empty. So folks, again, as usual, we're being duped. I will say this. The places I went to over the weekend that are quote-unquote supposed to be wearing masks, retail stores and so on, it's hit and miss on people wearing them. There's some folks that will typically be at the door handing out masks if you don't have one, but what I'm seeing people do is grab it, walk in, not put it on, do their shopping and leave. Yes, all the staff have masks, and these particular locations I'm talking about have had all the way through this anyway, so they're just used to it. But the people going in and out of the stores don't, which thankfully, that's the way it should be. Now, I also know that there are some stores that are more strict than others. I'll get into some of that in today's program as well. But again, we got a lot in store for you, so I'll take a break, come back. I've got something I want to play along these lines, which one of you listeners actually sent me because it really does fit well. Before I do that, though, there is another win when it comes to some of the court battles in regards to what I'm talking about. A federal judge blocked the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in about 10 states so far. That's a win, folks. In other words, these mandates are not, number one, they're not working. Number two, people aren't getting vaccinated. Number three, the employers are getting to the point where they really don't care. They're not checking. They just want to make sure they can do business from day to day. Yeah, there's a few, you know, nannies out there that are running around making sure that all their employees do so. But I think by and large, this thing is waning. And the question I've got for everybody, I'm going to go to break on this. You can think about it, is what's next? What are they going to come up with next to make sure that you get vaccinated and or do what you're supposed to do control-wise when it comes to COVID? Because we all know about the new variant that now is coming, which we knew there's going to be variants. Dr. Kelly talks about this every Thursday that she's on with us. There's new variants coming. And there will be continual to be new variants. What I've read so far about the new variant, though, is this is from even some doctors that are inside of South Africa where they're treating patients, is it's very, very mild cases. And the majority, and so far, all the cases have not needed hospitalization and can be treated at home. So just like Dr. Kelly said, typically with these types of viruses, they mutate and they become more contracting. In other words, they're more easily spread, but less deadly. They become less hard on individuals that actually get the virus. And to my knowledge, no one has died of this new variant yet. If that has changed and somebody knows something I don't, please let me know. Golden Eagle Financial is up next, though. As we head to the end of the year and you start looking at your planning for the future, your tax planning even as to where you're at now, where you're going in the future and so on, make sure that you contact Al Smith if you don't have a financial plan in place. And he can help you figure out how to do that, how to get to that retirement, you know, that you want to get to at some point. And maybe it's not retirement. Maybe it's just slowing down and not having to worry so much about finances. Al can help you with all of that. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You've been saving for retirement your entire career. Now it's time to take some of your winnings off the table. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a tax-efficient retirement plan. You've never had much need for a financial advisor in the past because you have primarily contributed to your company's 401k or IRA. Now, you're looking to the future. You know those accounts will be fully taxable once you retire, and taxes could be a pretty big chunk. Now's the time to start thinking about converting at least a portion of your nest egg into tax-free accounts. Your company's retirement plan has served you well, but you don't need to leave your nest egg there forever. In fact, it may be in your best interest to move some of that money before you retire. Find out how you could move into a lower tax bracket. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith at klzradio.com/money. Planning with Purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Barber's Foods is next. And don't forget, Greg will be out at our Wednesday event this Wednesday night out at Artisan Pizza. But I had some ribeyes over the weekend, and actually had one of his turkeys as well. Delicious. I've never had a piece of meat from Greg. I had bacon this morning, by the way, as well. So anything you get from Greg, from whether it be bacon, pork, you know, the poultry side of the fence, the beef, bison, you name it, it is all great. He knows exactly where the animals come from, how they get to your table. It is the best protein I've ever eaten in my entire life, and I mean that sincerely. Don't forget to go to ranchfreshmeats.com and register for that free case of Choice Angus ribeyes. Again, that's ranchfreshmeats.com.
This is Greg Bloom, the owner at Barber's Foods. I want to personally thank each and every one of you sincerely for the meat that you ordered from us this year. We had a great year, and we really appreciate your business. Now, you've likely noticed that we've rebranded our online store to ranchfreshmeats.com. We did this for several reasons, but one of the primary reasons was to make it easier for you to remember our company name when you tell your family and friends during the holidays where you get great quality local meats. From a Colorado-owned company that knows the origin of all of the meats that we source from family farms. For the coming holidays, we've got some great gift boxes ready. Get your Christmas shopping done early and order now. RanchFreshMeats.com. You can spell it with an S or with a Z at the end, but get to RanchFreshMeats.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
If Joe Biden runs for re-election and Donald Trump challenges him, what are you going to do?
I can't vote for either one of those candidates. I'm hoping Tulsi Gabbard runs.
Are you related to Tulsi Gabbard? Is she your cousin?
No, she's not a cousin. Okay,
and I like her too, but I also like chocolate ice cream. I'm not going to vote for it.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it very much. All right, I want to play something along these lines. And one of you listeners just sent me this prior to coming on air today. Now, this is a older video. This was actually put up on YouTube June of this year, June of 2021. Although still applicable to what we're going through right now. In fact, it just continues to be, it's like Groundhog Day. This is just a continual repeat, day after day, month after month, quarter after quarter of what we continue to go through. And again, as I said a moment ago before going to break, which Charlie said, I'm the only guy even talking about how this next strain, is everything I've read about it, folks, I don't know what we're worried about. There are bigger things in life, let's just say it that way. There's bigger things in life to worry about than this new strain. In fact, there's bigger things in life to worry about than COVID itself. That's another topic. But I want to play this. Now, this is coming from Outside the Beltway with John Fredericks. I won't play all of it. I'm going to play the majority of those so you can hear it. And I believe this is an interview with Chris Skye up in Canada. So this is coming from Canada, but it still applies to what we have going on here in the United States of America, for that matter, around the world. So let me play this. Here you go.
In Canada, one year ago, almost to the day, Chris Skye did this monologue predicting what was going to happen in the next year. Let's roll the tape and see how right he is. One year ago, Chris Skye.
Don't need a mask. The mask is about compliance because they know Canadians like to do what they're told. So if they tell you you have to wear a mask, next they're going to tell you you have to contact trace. Then they're going to tell you you have to take the vaccine. And because Canadians like to do what they're told, they're hoping that everyone just complies. And then guess what, kids? Once you take your vaccine, like a dumb person that doesn't know any better, they're going to tell you, sorry, the vaccine isn't as effective as we thought it was going to be. So now you still got to wear your mask, still got to get contact trace, still have all the restrictions and social distancing, and still take your vaccine. And then what did you get out of all of this? You got a whole year where you weren't allowed to travel, your business was closed, they took your rights and freedoms, they forced the vaccine on you. And what happened? The same amount of people died. Everything is the exact same. And now they're going to put you back on lockdown and bring it all the way till July of next year so they can do the same thing again. Bring you from July, August, and September, getting you off lockdown, but just to bring you back on lockdown again. If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class, and that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
I'll leave it at that, because you know what? He is spot on, basically reiterating the same things we talk about here on an ongoing basis. I talk about it myself. I talk about it with Steve House and Dr. Kelly Victory. And by the way, really appreciate them so much. I know we ran 4-hour specials. Charlie put all that together, which I want to thank him for doing Thursday and Friday. Had lots of people commenting on that. And I guarantee you, because we got emails and text messages from new listeners that were driving through that heard that, wanted to know about Dr. Kelly, wanted to know more about us, what we do, and so on. So those of you that might be listening to us again that we're traveling through, thank you so much. We appreciate it very much. These are the things that we talk about consistently. And I don't, folks, I'm not a journalist. I'm the first to tell you that. I am not a journalist. So if you're listening to us for the first time, or even a repeat, you know, listening to us as you drove through here for whatever holiday you were doing in this area, Thanksgiving, and you listened to our program then and you're listening again today, I'm not a journalist. I'm not even a talk show host. I mean, I am, but this isn't what I set out to do at an early age. I didn't wake up one day as a kid and say, I'm going to be a talk show host someday. No, sort of fell into all of this. I've been a car guy all my life, been in the automotive industry, owned auto repair shops for years and years, was on the radio on the weekends because of that, still do that on Drive Radio, and we now do Fix It Radio as well on Saturdays. But that's really where my radio began. That's where I got into radio. And Charlie knew me back then, even before I started doing The Daily Show. And then, lo and behold, there was an opening here. The station wanted to know if I wanted to do something on a daily basis. I said, sure, why not? And, 7 or 8 years later, here we are. So I'm not a journalist. I don't go out and do investigative reporting. I'm not that guy at all. I'm not a guy on the street. There's nothing fancy about what we do on a daily basis. But I will tell you that, I guess I'll toot my own horn for a minute. I do have some common sense, I feel. My dad taught me that. In fact, didn't teach me that. He basically drilled that into my skull at a very early age, that you've got to have common sense or you won't survive in this world. So I've got the ability to decipher right from wrong and look at things and look at data especially. I am very much a numbers guy. Was very much a math guy even growing up, all the way through. That was my good grade, I guess you could say, that I always got was in math. I didn't do so well in grammar, English, spelling, that sort of thing. But I did do well on the mathematic analytic side of things. And so I can read numbers. I can tell you what they say. It's not that difficult to figure things out. I mean, I'm that guy that when you got to go to figure the tip and the bill comes, I can rattle that off within, a few seconds as to what the tip needs to be, whether it's 10, 15, 20%, whatever you want to give. It's just me. And I've looked at a lot of what we've gone through when it comes to COVID through that data lens, I guess you could say. And I will still tell you to this day, as I said earlier, going to break, we have far more things to worry about in life than COVID. Yet, there are millions, billions of people running around this planet because of what the news media and politicians have done, and the quote-unquote health experts have done, that essentially have made people afraid to even leave their house at times. It's absolutely incredible. I never would have predicted, even doing this show as long as I've done it. I don't think Charlie would have either. Prior to COVID, I never would have predicted we as a society, especially Americans, would have caved into all of this power grab that's come from government. And when I say come from government, as I get time throughout today's program, I'm going to talk more about this, but the Jefferson County head of health, the head of the health department, Jefferson County, Dawn Comstock. And yes, I know she has a doctor in front of her name, but it's not a doctor as in medical doctor where she can go practice, because she can't. because she doesn't have that kind of a license. She's been academia her whole life. That's it. Never had a patient. She's never once worked on a patient. I don't believe she can. I don't think she's ever done the residency and done all the things necessary to actually be an MD. She's a academia politician. She's actually a lesbian Christian hater who's in charge of the Jeffco health system. I'll just say it like it is. There's a great video that some of you out there sent me, actually Tina Francone did, on a hearing about Don Comstock and how she actually got to be head of Jefferson County Public Health. I'll get into that at a later date because it's very interesting. Basically, in a nutshell, she sat on the board that decided what the qualifications would be for the position that she would eventually apply for and now is in charge of Jefferson County Health. Any other organization, including a business, would look at that and say, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? We don't do that. We don't lower standards so that somebody that's currently serving inside of our organization can now take over that position. That's not how this works. That's what Jeffco did. And in turn, you now have somebody in charge of Jefferson County Health that has no idea what goes on with real health outside of academia. And by the way, I'm not saying academia is always bad or wrong. I mean, that's how we learn. I get it, folks. I do understand that. But much like Dr. Fauci, who hasn't seen a patient in some probably 30-plus years, we've got folks that are in charge of your health, our health, quote-unquote, that haven't seen a patient in years, if ever. That's almost like taking your car. Well, it's not almost. It's like taking your car into repair, which we've got Geno's and Extreme, you know, as our sponsors. It's like taking your car in for repair at Geno's or Extreme and the technician that goes to work on your car advising you of what needs to be done but's never worked on a car in his life. It's essentially what we've got going on with your health. Now, I will say this. At least with cars, you can read, study, and understand a lot about the mechanical end of things and still advise some folks without ever working on a car, although it's still not the same. But with us, in our human bodies that are frail and that need constant care and attention, and we've now got individuals that are telling us what to do and making policy decisions that have never, ever had a patient in an office? What's wrong with that, folks? In my opinion, a lot. Liz Mayer, who normally is with us on Thursday, is going to join us here in just 1 minute because we've talked in the past about a vaping situation, if you would, a policy vote that's coming up, I believe, in the next day or two, if not tonight, at Denver City Council. Liz is going to join us in just 1 minute to talk about that. They're trying to do a vape ban, essentially, is what they're trying to do. We've talked about this in the past briefly, but Liz is going to join us and talk more about that in just one moment. But American National Insurance is up next. Paul Lewinberger, who, again, has kindly given a $150 gift certificate, Visa gift card. You can spend it on anything you want to. We'll throw that into the fishbowl, if you would, for door prizes on Wednesday night. So, Paul, thank you for doing that very much. Anything you need when it comes to insurance, give Paul a call. He's your guy. He'll set you straight on what you need to do and save you money at the same time. 303-662-0789. That's American National Insurance.
The rebate program with American National Insurance saves everyone money by incentivizing responsible money management. Depending on the cost, customers of Paul Lewinberger will sometimes choose to pay out of pocket rather than making a claim because they'd rather receive the sizable rebate at the end of 3 years than pay their deductible now. As a result, American National Insurance tends to pay out fewer claims each year compared to the competition, which is in part what gives them an A credit rating. American National Insurance then passes along that benefit to their customers by keeping their rates as good or better than their competition. With other insurance companies, you'd need to purchase extra rider policies at additional cost in order to receive comparable coverage. But American National Insurance rewards personal responsibility. Call Paul Lewinberger now for more comprehensive home insurance coverage at remarkably reasonable rates. 303-662-0789. 303-662-0789.
Michael Bailey Law, mobile estate planning, folks. And again, as we get to the end of the year, one of the, by the way, greatest gifts you could give some loved ones, and I know this sounds a little morbid, but I've seen it happen and it actually works, is to get those loved ones around you, especially parents or grandparents, the gift of an estate plan. Just say, you know what, Mom, Dad, we're going to take care of this for you. We'll take care of the cost. Just get with Michael Bailey. Get things taken care of and handled, because, frankly, you'll be giving yourself a gift along with those loved ones that need this, because nothing worse than having somebody pass away that doesn't have all of this dialed in. So call Michael today. He'll help you with everything I just said. 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
Consider two women. Alice has never given much thought to what would happen in a medical crisis. Jane has an estate plan with Michael Bailey Law. On the same day, both of them are rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. Alice's family doesn't know what to do, so they start fighting about who will decide. Jane's family turns to her oldest daughter, to whom Jane has already granted power of attorney. Make your choice at klzradio.com/estate.
The Glorious Cause. George Washington called the Patriots' fight for freedom the Glorious Cause. On the next Kim Munson Show, West Point graduate, former Army Ranger, and patriotic historian Ben Martin continues our interview series on America's Revolutionary War. We'll draw some parallels to the tyrannical edicts of King George and what is happening in America today. Entrepreneur and owner of Kunjani Coffee, Kimberly Bell, shares what she's brewing for this Christmas season. All this Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Liz Mayer will be joining us here in just one moment. Charlie's getting her rounded up. Somebody did email in to the station. And by the way, you can text me directly if you'd like to get to the, you know, get to me faster. You can do that. I should have mentioned that earlier. It's 307-200-8222. So 307-200-8222. You can always text us. In fact, I get those messages pretty much around the clock. If I'm not busy in the middle of something, I'll typically answer those fairly quickly. If I am in the middle of something, I'll get to it as quickly as I possibly can. But somebody said the next distraction may very well be smallpox. I've seen it online like three times now. It will obviously be very, very scary and contagious and dangerous as well. And this person says, so over this. Yeah, that makes two of us. And you are right, by the way. Whether it's smallpox or something along those lines, I do believe that it will be something they throw at us to, again, just try to distract us even more. Liz Mayer joining us now. Liz, how are you on this fine Monday?
I'm good. It's cold here, though. How is it with you?
We're like 70 degrees. We're in like this warm spell that we shouldn't be in, by the way, but we are.
Oh, no, you're just making me so envious. It's like freezing here, and the only good thing is that because we are now past Thanksgiving, it means that everywhere all over the town they've put out Christmas lights, so that is nice.
There you go.
It is really chilly.
Yeah, no, we are in for a very nice week here, and if it's not going to snow, I just soon have it be warm, so I'm fine with that.
Totally.
We do need the snow; we need the moisture and all that. But all right, so hey, talk to us about Denver's vape ban. I know you had a guest you sent our way that we talked to here a couple of weeks ago about that, but let's get into that a little bit more detail because, again, I think on the surface, people look at some of these things and think, "Oh, yeah, great, that's just like a smoking ban. Why not?" Well, as you dig into it, it's not so great after all.
No, there are a huge number of problems. So, I mean, first of all, I should just say that the Denver City Council, they are scheduled to hear public comments on this for a very brief period this afternoon and then vote on it. I think that that's probably going to happen around 5:30 p.m. your time. So it is coming fast. But, yeah, I mean, there are a number of problems with this. Obviously, for people who are limited government, free market, the problems are manifest and very obvious. But, I mean, the thing that's astonishing to me about this is that you have people who are ostensibly progressive, who are actually pursuing a tobacco flavoring ban that would have incredibly anti-progressive effects.
Right.
So, you know, just to start with an obvious one, you know, I think we've all seen how much the Democratic Party and the progressive movement has been overtaken by concerns about anti-racism and racial equity and Black Lives Matter and these sorts of things over the last 2 years. And I think it's really astonishing that when you look at who is opposed to this ban, it is a lot of advocates for racial justice. So you have Alvertus Simmons, who your listeners may or may not be familiar with. but he is one of the leaders of the March on Denver, right? So he's been speaking out about this. Who knows if the council is going to listen? It certainly seems that some members are not. The ACLU has spoken out about a proposed federal menthol ban. You know, a lot of their concern is that obviously the people who are going to pay the price for this, this is what Alberta Senate would say too, a lot of the people who are going to end up paying the price for this are going to be African Americans who consume menthol products, and you're going to have more recreations of the situation we saw with Eric Garner a few years ago where he was selling Lucy's on Staten Island, and he ended up dying as a result of it because, you know, the same people who talk about police brutality and police brutality being directed at African Americans apparently are the same people that don't understand that if they create a flavoring ban, they're going to create black markets, and what will inevitably occur is that there will be more law enforcement relating to that ban in those black markets that will be directed at African Americans. And it's not an insubstantial proportion of the population in Denver either. So, you know, that's one of the things that I find astonishing. Another thing I find astonishing, though, is, I mean, you know the geography of your city. I know the geography of your city. You can do a flavoring ban as much as you want that covers Denver, and people are just going to drive to Aurora or Lakewood wherever else to buy the product, and then probably bring it back. And then again, you know, who's going to be drawn to that? Well, if we're saying that the cigarette industry has targeted menthol cigarettes towards African Americans, that's where the black market's going to be concentrated too. So again, then you get into your law enforcement issue, or you're probably going to have a bunch of police brutality being directed at African Americans because of a tobacco flavoring ban that a bunch of supposedly progressive-minded Democrats cooked up in Denver. I mean, it's just, it's completely crazy. So I think when you look at it through a progressive prism, it's nuts. And then, you know, as you mentioned, you've had Ray Niara from NYU on to talk about this from a scientific perspective. You know, the more data we get on how flavoring bans work, the clearer it becomes that they don't work. Or one of the things that they do, if you count this as working, I don't know, maybe the cigarette company should actually be in favor of this, because if you actually look at the data, and we've got this now from a Yale study, a study that was published by Oxford, and you also have a study that just came out in October that was published in Science Direct, I believe it was on October 14th, and they all show that a significant number of people, if you ban flavors, will move to smoking regular plain old cigarettes. So, I mean, I just ask you, in the midst of what we're talking about and what is generally being called, particularly by progressives, a respiratory health pandemic, if we're in the middle of that, I really question why anybody would want to be instituting policy that's going to drive people who are using alternatives that have been designated as less harmful by the FDA or their next generation version of those products. Why would you want to be banning flavorings and pushing people who use those products back to smoking 20 a day Marlboro Red? I mean, unless you're literally the maker of Marlboro Reds, that makes no sense.
Right. I agree.
But here we are.
And of course, they're pushing this under the guise of, well, this will keep young kids from getting into vaping, which then might lead into some other things and so on. I mean, again, as I talked about this, by the way, numerous times, not just with you guys, but they always couch it, it's all about the kids. But at the end of the day, Liz, it's not.
Well, apparently it's not, because if we are really concerned about preventing kids from having addictions to the most harmful products that are out there, we would not be pursuing bans that have been scientifically demonstrated to push people towards smoking cigarettes. Look, I have an almost 8-year-old. I don't want him to become addicted to vapor. I don't want him to become addicted to cigarettes. I don't want him to become addicted to heroin. I don't want him to become addicted to chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
None of those things are good, right? But at the end of the day, what I definitely don't want, you know, when we look at the scale of those things, I don't want him addicted to the things that are definitely, absolutely, 100% going to kill him. And those things are the things in the category of cigarettes and hard drugs, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, in the data that we have doesn't indicate that it's only adults who are being pushed to cigarettes where you institute these bans. That's going to apply to youth just as much as, I mean, whether somebody's 17, 18, 21, 23, the behavior is the same. So, you know, I wish people would pay more attention to the science, but that seems to be difficult for people. I will say one positive note is that one of your council members, Kendra Black, she seems to be very focused on addressing this issue of youth usage, really by getting tougher with enforcement, of ID requirements when people are buying product. And that seems to me to be the most logical thing here. I think if the council is really concerned about addressing the issue of youth vaping, that would be the most logical way to approach it. You know, I also think short of that, maybe it's something that they need to be talking about how they address this as a statewide issue, because again, your ability to drive from Denver to Aurora or Lakewood and buy product and bring it back. I mean, this ban isn't going to address that situation whatsoever. I mean, there's very little that makes any sense about this.
Well, and frankly, Liz, even going that far, let's face it, even that sort of a ban, as we've seen with many bans in the past, isn't going to, if somebody wants to do this, they're going to do it anyways. In fact, in some cases, I will say that the more you say no, the more certain individuals, and by the way, it runs a spectrum. There's not any you know, economic or race or anything along those lines. If you just tell people no, especially kids, enough, it becomes one of the first things they want to go do.
Yeah, I think that's very much true. And again, you go back to what the actual science is showing on this now that you have had cities and states that have put flavoring bans in place, and those have been in place for several years. You go back and you actually look at the raw data on it. And the people voting on this are people who consider themselves to be pro-science, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pro-science.
Right.
So they should look at the data. At the end of the day, yeah, even if you do this at a state level, I mean, California passed a statewide flavoring ban. Now it's going to be up for a referendum, so it's not in effect. You know, Massachusetts has done things on flavoring bans. We had San Francisco pass a flavoring ban by a ballot proposition. The data is really clear on this, and it shows that it is going to be counterproductive from a public health standpoint. So, you know, set aside all the rest of this. I mean, for me, personally, I do think that the racial justice components of this are important. I mean, I remember when what happened with Eric Garner happened, and I was absolutely outraged by it. But it's astonishing to me that people who consider themselves to stand in solidarity with a movement like Black Lives Matter would even consider casting a vote where you have leading civil rights and civil liberties figures saying this is actually going to get African Americans killed. I mean,
aside, Liz, just going back to the basis of if what they're really trying to do is A, keep kids from picking up vaping, this is not going to do it. And then to add on top of that, even the regular individual that's trying to quit smoking. In fact, I had a great friend of mine one time say, most pastors, preachers, and so on that are in the pulpit never have to preach against people smoking. The reason being is everybody that smokes know it's so addictive they want to quit. You don't have to tell someone that
that's
smokes
right.
They need to quit, Liz. They already know they need to. And if they can go to an alternative like vaping and help them diminish that and move down that road of getting rid of cigarettes in their life altogether, why would we not be for that?
Well, and you're talking to somebody who that is my exact experience. The work that I do on this issue is not specific to vaping. It's actually much more directed towards a product called Zyn, which is basically raw pharmaceutical grade nicotine in a little pouch. It's like a successor product to a product that was designated as a modified risk tobacco product by the FDA. So it's probably, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but likely logic would dictate to me anyway that it's even safer. But, you know, that product wasn't available when I went to quit smoking and when my husband went to quit smoking. Vapor was. But I will tell you, I'm married to somebody who started smoking 20-day Marlboro Reds when he was a teenager. And I do not mean 17. I mean on the low end of that scale. And he just could not quit. I never smoked that much, but I had a very difficult time quitting, too. And the only way that I was able to do it and that he was able to do it was with vapor. Pharmaceuticals didn't work. Chantix didn't work. He had dreams like for 2 weeks every night that he was chopping me up into little bits. Like that's not going to work for people, right?
Right.
The gum didn't work. The patch didn't work. You know, hypnosis didn't work. Trying to go cold turkey didn't work. These things did not work. Ultimately, what did work was replacing the nicotine with something that was a less harmful system for delivering it. And, you know, ultimately that does present people with the opportunity to ratchet down, too. I don't vape anymore. I haven't used any of these products since, I guess it would probably have been sometime early 2012, right?
Wow.
My husband hasn't used any of these products since I was pregnant and since my kid's coming up on 8. That tells you how long ago that was.
Well, and real quick,
but
I want to ask you,
day,
too.
Without that, we'd still be smokers.
Well, and was I right in what I said that you guys that were smokers, no one ever had to tell you that it was bad and you should quit. You knew that all along, you just have to get it done. Yeah. That's a hard thing to do when nicotine is the most addictive drug out there.
Right. It is extraordinarily addictive, and it's very hard to kick. And there are ways of consuming it that are less harmful. And the FDA has now said so. I believe they've now approved at least three products. One of them was, you know, the first one that ever got a modified risk tobacco product labeling from the FDA was my client's product. So that's Swedish Match General Snus. They now have the successor product that's just the raw pharmaceutical grade nicotine that hasn't been assessed yet by the FDA. Hopefully at some point it will be. And I imagine it will probably be viewed favorably. But you also have a heat not burn technology from a different company. And then you also have what I believe is a vapor product. And FDA is constantly reviewing these things. And so I just think it's kind of nuts when we're in a situation where a lot of people are constantly looking to the FDA for guidance, and FDA is saying, okay, there are things out there that are less likely to kill you or harm you than cigarettes. I mean, whether somebody...
Well, and we've known for years, Liz, the other things that they put in the cigarettes to make them addictive, which, you know, those are not good. Those are not good for you either. But my point is this, and I've known a lot of folks that have tried to quit smoking. They have quit smoking, or they're in the process of trying to quit smoking. And I've never smoked in my entire life. I've got my own story behind that. But the reality, Liz, is if there are products out there that will help these individuals quit, why would we want to limit them? That's my question.
Right. I mean, and I can't answer that question. I don't think there is an answer to that. And I think whether you talk about it in terms of smoking cessation, which is not how most of these companies do or how the FDA does, or you talk about it as harm reduction, which is the way they talk about it and is the way the FDA talks about it, I think the benefits of that are pretty clear. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're doing something that doesn't entail taking literally a canter stick, lighting it on fire, and inhaling what comes out of it, like, it's fairly obvious that other things, even if they contain addictive components, and as you say, nicotine is, it's still not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, they're very hard to kick. And, you know, the people in my family who still smoke, I am constantly begging them to try vaping, begging them to try Zyn, begging them to try whatever, something mm-hmm. that is deemed less harmful. I would also add that, you know, one thing that's relevant and interesting here is that the way this is viewed in different countries is very different. So people may not remember this, but I'm also British as well as American. And in the UK, it is extraordinarily common for doctors to actually tell people, their patients who want to quit smoking, just take up vaping. Mm. You know, or that's a very common thing.
Sure.
And in fact, the patients that do that generally commend it. Here we have some people in the supposed public health community who aren't 100% on board with that. Over there, it's very common that you have people within the public health advocacy sphere who are strongly pro-vapor. And I think part of the reason that they are is, unfortunately, they have a heavily socialized healthcare system. But when you have that heavily socialized healthcare system, you have to be really concerned about ramping down on costs. And one way that you do it is by limiting how much of your population gets cancer,
very true.
COPD, and asthma.
Very true.
And they see very clearly that vapor has enabled them to do that, and these other alternatives have enabled them to do that. And the public health community here hasn't had to make that same cost calculation. Yep. And, you know, in some ways, that's great because it indicates the free market healthcare system that we have here versus there. But it also, it's just sort of a proof point that they haven't been forced to look at the evidence the way that scientists in other countries have. Now we're starting to see them doing it more by courtesy mm-hmm. of people like Ray at NYU and the Yale researchers and the study in Oxford, you know, the Oxford publication, and then the Science Direct study. But, you know, people should really hold off on voting for these things while we see what that looks like.
Agreed.
Because so far, the science suggests that it's a very, very bad idea from a public health standpoint.
Liz, I'll leave it at that. Thank you. Great information as always. I appreciate it very much. Enjoy your week and stay warm.
Thanks so much. I'll do my best.
All right, Liz. Take care. Appreciate it very much. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. Speaking of staying warm, they are up next. And yes, they will get you back on track, whether it's something with your hydronic system, whether it's with your regular HVAC system, or whether it's an electrical issue. Whatever it is that's going on, they would love to help you out, and they'll come out and give you an estimate with a technician, not a salesman. 720-526-0231. Ask about the Absolute Advantage program while you're at it, and you can find them at klzradio.com.
This is probably the only winter that Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will recommend replacing your furnace early rather than repairing it. They want to protect you from weeks without heat. Because Absolute Electrical, Heating, and Air only sends technicians to your house, not salespeople, they normally prefer to fix your furnace. They enjoy the fun of problem solving, getting an old furnace back in working order. They will gladly come back again and again to repair your furnace, extending its life and saving you the expense of a replacement. This winter, however, Absolute Electrical, Heating, and Air is one of very few HVAC companies with furnaces still in stock. Right now, your old furnace is working fine because it's not very cold outside. As soon as the temperatures drop dramatically, and you know that could happen any day, your furnace will need to work a lot harder to heat up your house. That's when it could die. Replace your furnace now. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical, Heating, and Air.
All right, folks, have you ever been caught with the power out and no ability to generate power? Well, we've got a solution for you in that case, and those times can happen. Now, we look around right now, and it seems like it's pretty good. We don't have any issues, although over the Thanksgiving weekend, some 64,000 customers out in California went without power because of rolling brownouts, blackouts, if you would, in California. Don't be caught without power. MySolarBackup.com can provide that power, at least to those essential things in your home, so you don't lose all the meat in the freezer or the fridge or whatever it happens to be. It's MySolarBackup.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of electricity, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Solar generators are emergency backup systems that provide life-saving electrical backup power, and MySolarBackup.com has just moved a small shipment of new solar generators through the Long Beach port. Unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous winter weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Listeners get over $700 in additional bonuses too. Go to MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. Enter the Solar Generator Giveaway Contest while you're there and look for the free report, How to Cut Your Electric Bill in Half. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Folks, I got a couple of questions over the weekend about auto glass, and I gave the answer right back. Best thing to do, just go to Novus Auto Glass, one of the locations near you. Find them online, rushtoreason.com. Just look for the Novus link there. Click it. You'll find a location. Call them and ask that question. But they're going to go ahead and, by the way, Zach from Parker is going to give away some coupons when it comes to windshield repair at our event Wednesday night. So don't forget to come out and check that out as well. But anything you need when it comes to auto glass repair, replacement, you name it, it's Novus Auto Glass. Again, find them online, rushtoreason.com.
Modern windshields help protect the occupants of your vehicle in the event of a collision, so quality counts. In today's vehicles, your windshield has become a structural component of your car. The glass requires a specific amount of pressure to keep your windshield from literally popping out during impact. Even the quality of the resin that glues your windshield to your frame can make a difference. Since they invented windshield repair in 1972, Novus Auto Glass has continued to perfect their technique. Unlike most of their competitors, Novus can repair cracks up to a foot long without sacrificing the integrity of your windshield. Industry-wide delays in the supply chain have forced manufacturers to limit the quantity of glass they sell to individual shops, so you may need to wait longer for a new windshield. The sooner you contact Novus Auto Glass, the better chance you have at saving money with a repair. Contact a Novus location near you at klzradio.com/glass.
Buy an investment, not a job. Because John Rush has bought and sold his own businesses in the past, he has learned the hard way what happens when you purchase a disorganized company. You end up buying a job. John knows what it's like to work 80 hours a week just to keep a business afloat. He's not a broker, but he can spot the difference between a well-run company and a chaotic one. Hire John Rush to evaluate a business before you buy it. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, just to recap, Denver City Council, yes, I believe they are voting tonight. They're taking comments, but voting tonight. If you're somebody in Denver, you may want to still comment and talk about what Liz and I just went through, but they're going to vote on whether or not to ban flavored vaping products and only go to, you know, basically one flavor, if you would. Again, some of the things that government thinks of at times, it's just downright stupid. I have no other way to say it. It's just stupid, some of the things they think about. And this is actually, in my opinion, one of those. So, all right, we got another full 2 hours coming your way. The next hour, Solomon Duke, who's been with us many, many times in the past, we're going to talk about Kenosha, the Kyle Rittenhouse situation. And if we get time, talk about vaccines with kids as well. But that's up next. Don't go anywhere. Hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.